All right, well, let's grab our notes then for this evening, and we have blanks to fill in for the kids there too. So kids, you sit up and listen well, pay attention closely. Obviously, I'm not necessarily directing all of this towards the children's level, so they'll have to listen really well, but there are things for them to pick up and notice, and I hope it'll be a blessing to them. As we've walked through now, this is week number 5 or 6, actually, on a little mini-series on the one another's of the New Testament, helping us to contemplate and understand what we are to do specifically within our church family as we care for and love one another. So we've touched several things, and I want to look at tonight from Hebrews chapter 10. So if your Bibles aren't already open there, get them open to Hebrews chapter 10. And the one another that we're looking at tonight is consider one another. Consider one another from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Now, you can see on the notes there that I put a little bit of an introductory paragraph, and let's read that real quick, and then I'm going to explain it even a little deeper for you, but this kind of gives you the scenario, the outline here. God, through Christ's work, has opened us direct access to and worship of Him, both personally and corporately. As we look at the book of Hebrews, and as you recall, the book of Hebrews was written specifically for a Jewish audience or an audience that were believers but had a strong background in the Jewish form of worship, the Old Testament worship, and they were struggling with how do I transition into New Testament worship and really the process of sanctification. What's this Christianity like compared to or different than Old Testament worship and sanctification? And so the writer of Hebrews is doing a very deep theological walkthrough that the New Testament, because God designed it that way, is better than what's in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was looking ahead. It was only just a shadow of what was to come in Jesus Christ. And now Christ has come, and all things are new, and we worship Him new in the sense that there's another form to do to our worship, not including animal sacrifice. And as well, we have a direct personal access to God through Jesus Christ, through His blood. And this is really the strong point that we come to in Hebrews chapter 10. So we are just on the cusp in this book of turning from a lot of the deep theology about who Christ is, about the new covenant compared to the old covenant, about the new tabernacle, if I can put it that way, or the eternal tabernacle in heaven compared to just the physical tabernacle of the Old Testament. And we're coming to here in chapter 10, the conclusion of the writer of Hebrews' discussion of Christ being our high priest. And so really this section, verses 24 and 25, is in the midst of a context that begins back in verse number 19. And let's read that. Let's start reading there. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through His flesh. So we have, because Jesus Christ is our high priest, and He is our sacrifice too. This is an interesting combination of analogies or pictures for us. We have something brand new and something special. So we are able to go into the very presence of God because Jesus, by His blood, by His death, by the breaking of His body, the death of His body, has opened the door, opened the veil for us to come into the presence of God. And as such, after His resurrection, He's risen and is now seated at the right hand of God. We have in verse 21, having an high priest over the house of God. And He's speaking here, we could translate it, over the household of God. He's talking about us. He is our high priest. And as a priest, He has both atoning duties, if I can put it that way, and that's completed in His work on the cross of Calvary, and interceding duties for us. He is currently, as we've discovered earlier in the book, He is currently interceding for us. Isn't that amazing that Jesus Christ prays for us to His Father? What a precious, precious Savior we have. So in light of the fact that He is our sacrifice is complete, the veil has been broken, we can come into the very presence of God and personally interact with Him. And in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is our high priest, interceding for us, claiming his blood as the atonement for our sins as believers, we are to do certain things. We have several things that are open to us. So verse 22, in light of that, therefore, verse 22, let us draw near. Because the veil is open, let us draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We have been purified by the blood of Christ at the moment of salvation. We can draw near to God. What a wonderful promise. Now, verse 23, in light of the fact that Christ is our high priest, that Christ is our sacrifice, we should draw near to God. Secondly, we should hold fast the profession of our faith, our hope. The word faith there is actually the Greek word for hope. This is a great idea because hope is not something that's a waffling or it's like, I don't know for sure. No, it is secure. It is full of faith, if I can put it that way. So I like how they translate it here. For let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promised. He has promised that our salvation is secure. Let's cling to that promise. Hold fast to it and live it out in our life. Like Paul says to the Philippians, live out your own salvation with fear and trembling, all right? We are to do that here, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is encouraging us to do, to hold fast, to cling to it, to live it out in our life. And then we come to the verses that we want to look at tonight, to the one another verse. So the third thing we do in light of the fact that Christ is our high priest and our sacrifice, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So as we grab our notes here tonight then, look at your notes there. As we've had this wonderful joy of being able to have a personal and corporate relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, because of his sacrifice and because of his high priestly work, one of the results of that is, we need to live in light of those truths and help one another live in light of those truths. So that's the word consider. As you see on your notes, consider means to notice someone, there's your blank, to notice someone spiritually. Another way to put it is this. I need to be looking out for the spiritual walk of my brother and sister in Christ. So, when we are gathered together, when we meet another brother in Christ, I not only should notice, oh, hey, you got a new haircut, looks great, I like the new glasses, oh, you're dressed appropriately today, thank you, those things. Boy, I like the smile on your face. How's it going? All those things that are outward expressions of who we are as Christians, but we need to consider one another spiritually. It should be on our mind, how is my brother or sister doing in their walk with the Lord? Christ is their high priest. He's sacrificed for their sins. Their sins are paid for. They have a personal relationship now with God. I wonder how that's going. And so, if I'm going to consider one another, if I'm going to notice you and you're going to notice me spiritually, how does that work out? What is it that we do that? Well, the writer of Hebrews doesn't leave us without an answer. He answers it very well. So as he goes on, let us consider one another. Why? So you look at our notes, point number one. The purpose of our considering, of our noticing one another, is to provoke one another. The word provoke can be a pretty strong term. We often think of it in a negative sense. That, you've provoked me. The idea of you're irritating me. You've made me mad. And that's the negative connotation, but that's not what the writer of Hebrews is doing here. I'm not supposed to go about making you mad. No, I'm rather, here's the positive connotation of provoke, and maybe this would even be a better word to put in the blank besides the word provoke, would be to prod or to stir up or to incite to righteous living. So the purpose of considering one another, to think about what's going on spiritually in this person's life and to help them, is I want to stir them up to, and he says, what's he say there? Well, letter A and B, provoke my fellow servant to love and to good works. Now I realized letter B looks like there's only one word blank there. Well, you have to put two words in. I apologize. Either write real tiny or you can write beyond the period, all right? I give you permission. So kids, that's okay, all right? There we go. So I need to provoke my brother or sister in Christ to love and to good works. As I try to help my brother in Christ, and as I'm noticing him spiritually, what I want to do is become a useful tool in the hand of God to help my brother to be selfless, that's the word love, and to be busy about, that's the word work, God's things, that's the word good. Every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, it is the very character of God that he is good. Our God is good. And it speaks of his righteousness. It speaks of his generosity. It speaks of all that he does is proper and right and a blessing. And you and I are to do the same thing. We are to be about good works. We're to be about being selfless and loving one another. Well, yet we all know that we have days that we struggle with all those things, don't we? Well, if I'm going to remember that Jesus Christ is my high priest who has sacrificed himself for my sin, then one of the things I will do with my brother or sister in Christ is to help them walk with the Lord and love and do good works. Let me do this, because this really, those are the two, and we could do a lot of practical application on this point. But in your conversations, let me just maybe summarize it this way, because point number two really helps start bringing it out in a great fashion. But let me summarize it this way. Whenever I interact with my brother or sister in Christ, I shouldn't just be concerned about their hobby or if their life is okay. I should be concerned that I help them, that I'm a tool, humble tool in God's hand, to help them walk with the Lord better. And that walk with the Lord will be something that in their life will demonstrate selfless love and good works. It's very apparent then that if, like Galatians 6 says, if I happen to come across my brother who's struggling with sin, what do I do? Ignore it, walk away, pretend it's not there? No, I need to consider him. I need to notice him spiritually and to provoke him, incite him, prod him along to love and to good works. Now, one other quick comment, and then we'll go on to point number two. We consider one another. The joy and blessing of this command and of this truth is this. There is not a hierarchy in considering one another. What does that mean? That means that you consider your pastor. You are to be provoking me to love and to good works, as I am to be provoking you to love and to good works. This is a real blessing. I remember as I dealt with teenagers for many, 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 many years. A teenager in a home that maybe the mom and dad were not walking closely with the Lord. They may be believers, but they struggled in their own personal faithfulness. And a teenager whose heart was on fire for the Lord, yet struggled. What do I do with mom and dad? Well, in humbleness, in submission to their authority in your life, you still are a tool in God's hand in your home to consider them, to provoke them, to prod them to love and to good works. I remember, and there I could have several illustrations here, but I remember one of the teenagers that I worked with for many, many, many years. And she was the primary spiritual influence in her family. What a joy to watch her strive with all that she had to help her family come close to the Lord, be used of the Lord to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ, and then help them grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to do that. no matter what our rank is or station, this is a one another that we do together. All of us are to help all of us do right. All right, let's go on to point number two then. So the purpose of considering is to provoke one another. That's point number one. Now the process of considering, as the writer of Hebrews puts it here, is exhorting one another. Let's read the verses again. Verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And here's the process. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, continue to exhort and more, as you see the day approaching. The word exhort is the word that actually is connected to, or it's the same title that we would have of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. This is the action word of that title. We are to be a comfort to one another. You say, well, exhorting doesn't sound like comforting. Truth is always a comfort. Parents, I find it that the world teaches us in the training of our children that there are some things we kind of fudge on and don't tell them the whole truth. I don't think that that's biblical or right. Some of the greatest comfort is to know the reality of a situation and take the truth of God's word and apply to it. Maybe just for a stark illustration, but there are numerous illustrations. When Deb was struggling with her cancer, Deb and I determined that we would not hide the truth from our children. Mom would have bad days. What did we want the kids to see? We wanted to see Mom and Dad trusting the Lord through a deep trial. So we had to let them know the truth about what the trial was. So then they could understand the gravity of the reality that if God was going to comfort us, it was real comfort. You see, when I exhort my brother or sister in Christ, I must give them the truth of God's word. That is the source of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Comfort them with the comfort wherewith God has comforted you. Does a lie really ever comfort? No, it only masks and disguises the pain and the torture, the unreality. And it leaves people hopeless. In the process of considering, let us exhort one another. The word exhort, yes, means to comfort. But let us also, it's a big rich term. It talks about encouraging. It talks about strengthening. It has the idea of teaching. So it's an ongoing process. No wonder, he says here in a moment, do it more and more. We are literally called to be at another person's side, to aid and help them in their walk with the Lord. That's the whole idea of the word exhort. That's amazing to me. If I can put it this way, and this will come as a very picturesque illustration in this period right now. In my responsibility to my brother in Christ, it is a hands-on responsibility. I'm to come alongside him and help him walk with his Lord, to demonstrate in his life, to live out his love and good works, the Lord's love and the Lord's good works and his own life. So I exhort and encourage him. I come alongside and help him. Now, there's a couple of necessary things to this exhortation, and this is both encouraging and yet it makes my heart beg that the Lord will give us back together quick soon, all right? As we see here, assembly is your blank in letter A. Assembly is necessary for exhortation. We are, and he gives to the opposite. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some have. You see, it appears as though as the people were struggling with the difference between Old Testament worship and New Testament worship, and some giving way to going back to the Old Testament form of worship, they forsook assembling with the believers. And it actually hurt them in living out the reality that Christ was their high priest and their sacrifice. You see, if my brother is struggling spiritually, what does he need? To get alone? away from God's people? No, actually, one of the strong purposes for us gathering together on a regular basis is to help one another grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is to hear the preaching of God's word. Yes, it is to worship. But in this passage, he is talking specifically about you and I helping one another. This is talking about the fellowship time before and after our formal worship time. And that fellowship time needs to be about helping each other to grow in love and good works. It is absolutely necessary to the ministry of exhortation that we assemble. Believers, would you join me tonight in praying that God would open the door for that soon again in our country and around the world? This assembly online is at least profitable, I trust, because we're dealing with God's word. But we are having little opportunity to exhort to love and to good works, to provoke, I should say, to love and to good works, because I can't see you face to face. I can't come alongside you and say, my brother, let me help you walk with the Lord. Let's pray that God will open up that opportunity. As we've seen already, this can be well practiced in the home. Moms and dads, provoke your children to love and to good works. Exhort them. Children, help one another, not because you're better than or over them. Older children, let me tell you, your younger siblings don't generally appreciate it when you act like mom and dad. You're not their mom and dad, but you are their sister or brother, and you can work on helping your brothers or sisters, and they on you, by the way, grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be about that. So, assembly is necessary for exhortation. Don't forsake. I trust that in your heart you understand this as we long to be back together again, and may assembling together always be a priority for every believer, that God would help us to grow in our walk with the Lord because we're gathering together. You forsake the assembling of the local church, and guess what happens? The natural, sinful process of it, you stop being faithful in your love and your good works. I've seen it too many times. It is the normal process. A believer dwindles his time with God's people and his relationship with his high priest, with his Savior, dwindles as well. The other necessary thing is hope. Hope is necessary for exhortation. And what do I mean by this? Well, the word hope is the idea that we see at the end of verse 25. So much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, the purpose of my exhortation, of my provoking, is not just because I want to one-up my brother in Christ, not because I want to look better than them, and it's not because I want them to treat me nicely. None of those things, and a multitude of other carnal bad reasons. We help our brothers grow in Christ because one day we're going to be with our high priest and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We will see him face to face, and we want our brother and sister in Christ to meet their Savior who is smiling at them, who is rejoicing in the relationship with them. We want our brother and sister in Christ to not be startled by the face of Jesus Christ as if it's the first time they've ever seen it. We want their walk with the Lord to be so close and dear that it'll be the very next natural step at the day of Christ for them to see Jesus. It won't be startling at all. It'll be a time of great joy. And how will that happen? By them walking faithfully with the Lord right now. So let us help one another. Let us consider one another. Let us notice each other spiritually. And then let us help one another to provoke, to love, to good works. Don't forsake the assembling of together. Rather, exhort one another. And so much the more, because the day's coming when we will see Jesus face to face, and we want that to be a glorious day, not a day of loss of reward for the believer. So there's much hope in the exhortation. You're helping your brother or sister in Christ become more like their Savior, to love him more, to follow his steps and be good in their life better. And consequently, allow them to receive wonderful eternal reward. You see, your work of considering one another is of great eternal value for that believer and for your ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Let us be faithful in considering one another. I hope this is an encouragement to your heart. Again, maybe in the home tonight, you talk a little bit about how can I help each other grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be found, especially here at Heritage Baptist Church, considering one another to love, to provoke to love and to good works. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time together in your word. I pray that this will be an encouragement to hearts tonight. Lord, your word is always rich and full of encouragement and challenge. May we be faithful in doing the same with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, as I stop and consider the years that I've been here and how I've had brothers and sisters in Christ, consider me spiritually and help me spiritually. That is a rich blessing. Thank you for each one of these dear church family members. Would you help us? Even now, we're separated by space, but Lord, you've given us some technology that allows us to at least verbally, by text or whatever, connect with one another. May we, even in the midst of that, consider one another, notice each other spiritually, and help each other. Lord, if there's a brother or sister in Christ tonight among our church fellowship that needs some encouragement or needs some prodding to stay faithful to the Lord, would you direct the right brother or sister in Christ right to them, and may the conversation lead to the right thing that would help that brother or sister in Christ walk faithfully with you, find encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ, and ultimately be found hoping for the day when we see you face to face. So give us, even this rest of this week, many opportunities to consider one another. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.